Welcome to the February 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin has been on a wild ride. It started on February 8th when Bitcoin rallied from 3350 up to 3700, and then it steadied out around 3630 and declined slowly for about 10 days. Until like about February 18th when it hit 3560 or so. And then it rallied again all the way up to 4000. And then it kept on rallying a little bit. There was lots of volatility. And then there was that another rally up to 4200 by February 23rd. And then suddenly on February 24th, Bitcoin crashed all the way down to 3715. And now we're sitting at 3785. So essentially, we had three rallies in a row that added to each other. We had that rally to 3,700, then another rally to 4,000, and then to 4,200. Three rallies in a row adding to each other, which was pretty bullish and optimistic. And it got people starting to talk like, hey, maybe the bull market's coming back. Maybe this bear market is finally coming to an end. But then, of course, you zoom out into that one-day chart on Bitcoin Wisdom, where Bitcoin drops from like 20,000 to 3,000. And on that chart, these three rallies in a row look like nothing more than really a blip. So I've always cautioned, like, hey, we got to wait till much more of a rally to say the bear market's over. And then lo and behold, the bear market has come back in force. Bitcoin dropped from 4,200 all the way to 3,700. This wild ride is reflected in the total crypto market cap, which is like the combined market cap of all the cryptocurrencies. Over the course of those three rallies, the total crypto market cap rose from a low of near $110 billion all the way up to $144 billion very briefly, maybe $143 billion. And now currently it is near $129 billion. So the total crypto market cap from that crash and like yesterday lost about $14 billion, which is a pretty big deal. That's a lot of market cap. Still, the total crypto market cap is sitting about 30% above the bear market low of $100 billion. But that being said, we've seen lots of volatility in the crypto space and bear markets where you'll see the price going above the bear market low for a while. And I'm talking about like the bear market that started in late 2013, went through 2014, then 2015. We actually didn't see the bear market lows until 2015. And there was times where it was well above the bear market low and then it crashed to the bear market low. So it's not out of the question that we could retest that bear market low. And just running through the cryptocurrencies, where are they at now? Well, Ethereum took a big hit, and it's down to $138, $14.5 billion market cap. It's well ahead of Ripple XRP, which has a $12.5 billion market cap. So if I would have done this show yesterday, it would have looked very positive before that crash happened. Like, they were way up compared to this. And now XRP is at near 30 cents. EOS is at $3.50. And by the way, in the past 24 hours, Ethereum is down 7%, Ripple's down 3%, EOS is down almost 9%, Litecoin's down 5%, it's at $45, Bitcoin Cash is down 5% at $135, Stellar XLM is down 4%, Tron TRX is down 3%, Binance Coin down 5.6%, it's still at number 10, it's ahead of Bitcoin SV, and I thought maybe Binance Coin could overtake Tron and Stellar eventually. But it seems like the Binance DEX, the decentralized exchange, which has went into the testnet mode, maybe when it goes mainnet, maybe we can see a Binance Coin rally. But as for now, it seems like Tron and Stellar are staying ahead of Binance Coin. So yeah, Bitcoin SV is actually up 10%. So that's really interesting. This just happened just now this morning. It's the first crypto to be rallying after that crash yesterday. It's up 10% in the past 24 hours. And when looking at the chart, it basically gained everything it lost yesterday. So Bitcoin SV is doing really good this morning for some reason. It's at $70. And maybe, just maybe, that's a sign that something could be brewing from below in the crypto market. Like, sometimes we see one of the major cryptocurrencies rally, and then they all start to rally a little bit if one of them goes up enough. We'll see. I've never seen Bitcoin SV lead a rally on the crypto market. So maybe it's just a fluke. Cardano ADA is down 4%. Monero XMR is near $50, down 6%. IOTA, which is the number directed to cyclic graph cryptocurrency, is down 5%. Dash is down 2.8%. Dogecoin down 1%. Dogecoin didn't get hit that hard by the crash yesterday. It definitely went down with everything else, but not as hard as everything else. And that's been a common trend with Dogecoin. Like, on these severe down days, Dogecoin seems to not go down as much. But then at the same time, on the really up days, it doesn't go up as much. It's kind of more stable in a way. So to summarize the market analysis, basically up until yesterday precisely around 8 a.m., 9 a.m., so like a little over 24 hours ago, this is being recorded at 10 a.m. Eastern time, a little over 24 hours ago, everything was looking very positive, and then boom, it crashed. And by the way, these crashes on the market happen so quick. It seems like there's a lot of automated trading algorithms, probably people setting basically, like, you know, stop losses, and then when they hit their stop loss, the robot sells it for them, so then a bunch of stop losses get hit all at once, and then they sell, and it keeps going down and down until it hits an equilibrium. So when we see crashes and rallies, actually, on the crypto market, they've been extremely swift. Like, we've been seeing, like, slow trends upwards. Like, right now we're in a slow trend upwards since that crash yesterday. But simultaneously, when we actually see real movement on the crypto market, it happens, like, really quick. It looks like, basically, when it's going up, it's like a bunch of short sells being liquidated and covering their position rapidly. And then when it goes down, it's like longs being liquidated rapidly. So why did this happen? Why did cryptocurrency rise for, like, over 2 weeks straight, basically? Like, it started on February 8th, went all the way to yesterday, which was February 24th. That's, like, 3 weeks, actually, almost. So why did it crash suddenly? Well, the only thing I could think of is that CME Bitcoin future expiration was on February 22nd. And on February 22nd, Bitcoin was at $3,900. And a common trend we have seen, it's not every time there's an expiration, but I have seen some expirations in the past based on my analysis, where Bitcoin will rise really rapidly right after the expiration, and then it crashes, like, a day later, maybe 2 days later. In this case, it crashed about a couple days after the expiration. So Bitcoin went up to 4,200, and maybe that's where these CME Bitcoin futures traders took out their short positions. I'm not calling that as an affirmative for the month. We're going to have to watch for at least another week, and maybe even longer. See, the CME Bitcoin futures expirations is closely linked to the market. Like, in this case, Bitcoin rallied and then crashed even harder, like, within a couple days after the expiration. But it's not, like, a really easy thing to ascertain. It's more complex than, like, hey, it's going to go up after the expiration, go long for the month, or it's going to go down after the expiration. Sometimes Bitcoin will go up like it did this time, and then it's a better position to short sell from, like, 4,200 than it is from 3,900, and now maybe they're short selling from this position. And then, like, for example, just to zoom back out to the previous month, the last expiration before this was January 25th, and Bitcoin was at 3,500 to 3,600, and I thought it was a short month because it went from 3,500 to 3,600 down to, like, 3,350 or so, and I was like, okay, maybe they're trying to go short, but they're meeting strong support level. But maybe they switched to a long, or maybe this was their plan all along. Like, they made Bitcoin go down, and then maybe they took the long positions at 3,350, and then Bitcoin rallied pretty much all the way up to the expiration, went up. By the time the expiration happened, it was at 3,900. So people went long from 3,350, and then, you know, it expired at 3,900. They probably made a lot of money. So the expiration was on January 25th, and then we saw it hit its bottom around, like, February 7th or so. We're talking, like, almost 2 weeks after the expiration until they were ready for a long play. And this is all just speculation. I don't know what these Bitcoin futures traders on CME are exactly doing. And also, they're not all the same entity. There's different people trading on CME. My instincts and observations that they are working together to a degree, that there's an aggregate of Bitcoin futures traders that work together and make the market move with large amounts of Bitcoins and Bitcoin futures contracts on CME. So maybe in this case, they pumped it and then now they're dumping it, and that's really good for shorts. Like, let's say they did take out their shorts at 4,200, then that would be really good position if Bitcoin's going to go down for the month. And the support level long-term continues to be at 3,100. Like, if you zoom out onto the 12-hour chart on Bitcoin Wisdom, you can see that support level for the bear market low of 3,100. And from, like, late December through early February, Bitcoin was declining towards that level. And then we saw that deviation upwards from these three rallies that happened before that little crash. And Bitcoin was starting to go away from the support level, moving upwards. But now it's heading back down towards it. So it's possible it could go back to that support level. Like, if they took out short positions at 4,200 and it's going to go back to 3,100 this month, that would be a really epic short. with lots of profit. But this is all speculation. We're just going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of positive factors going on. It seems like the crypto space is consolidating. A lot of the weak players, a lot of the scammy stuff got kind of like culled, which means like wiped out. And, you know, the market's getting better. There's more legitimate technology, more legitimate companies. And also there's an overall sense that, hey, Bitcoin's price is pretty low. It's time to buy. So there seems to be a lot of buying pressure. But at the same time, this futures game and all the short selling game is still over the head of the Bitcoin market. So whenever Bitcoin gets a little breathing room and goes up, it's a good time to short for those people. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens one day at a time. All right, so there's some news for today. A South Korean cryptocurrency exchange called Coinbin, which apparently bought the hacked UBIT exchange like a while ago. They're reporting losses of more than $26 million, and they're saying it's because their employees embezzled the funds. They're saying an employee stole 100 Ethereum, which is like not that much. 100 Ethereum would be like $10,000 or something about. But they're saying also they lost $26 million, so it's really unclear exactly what's happening here. But another cryptocurrency exchange has filed for bankruptcy and has gone offline. This, more than the exact news here, the point to be taken is please don't store your Bitcoins or Ethereum or any other crypto on an exchange long term. Like, if you're going to be trading, make sure you trust that exchange, and then also do your trade and take it out and put it in your actual wallet where you hold the private key. Remember that proof of keys things around the 10th anniversary of Bitcoin on like January 3rd? So yeah, the proof of keys was all about like taking things into your own wallet so you don't get scammed by the exchange. People should do proof of keys every day. They should always, if you have cryptocurrency, do not keep it on the exchange. There's been exchange after exchange. We had Quadriga CX in Canada like lose all the money. And no one knows exactly what's going on, but there's lots of accusations flying around because it was really suspicious. The guy flew to India, and then he died, and then he had $190 million of private keys, and then all the blockchain forensics firms are saying, no, they did not have $190 million, and whatever is left is being moved around. So, I mean, whatever happened, the end result is all the customers lost their cryptocurrency, but if they were doing proof of keys and keeping their cryptocurrency in their own wallets where they hold the private key, they would not be affected. And now we have some people in South Korea feeling a similar thing on a much smaller exchange. So please keep your cryptocurrency in your own wallet. Another hack-related news story is that apparently Bitfinex has retrieved 27.6 bitcoins from the United States government. They lost like 120-something thousand bitcoins. 119,756 bitcoins to be exact, actually. They lost that many bitcoins in a hack in August 2016, and they've recovered 27.6 bitcoins. It's almost like not even big news, but it's going to be redistributed to the people that hold the RRT token, which is basically recovery right token. So that was actually being traded. So people were selling that token to other people for money, and then the people that held that token were expecting some sort of payback eventually. And this is a meager payback compared to like how many coins were lost. So like it might be branded as good news, but it's like in reality it shows like, hey, after like, I don't know, 3 years of an investigation, now they got like 28 bitcoins back out of the 120,000 that were lost. Once again, please keep your cryptocurrency in your own wallet. According to this press release from them, they actually did pay back everyone dollar to dollar that lost their money. So it says Bitfinex took a unique approach and generalized losses across all accounts and credited them BFX tokens, which was another token used to deal with the situation. And it says Bitfinex repaid all the losses within 8 months of the breach and gave everyone 100 cents on the dollar. So people didn't get their crypto back, but they got their fiat equivalent back. Kind of like what's going to happen with Mt. Gox eventually. Mt. Gox like lost way, way more Bitcoins. Like they're the biggest Bitcoin loss in history. I think they lost 850,000 Bitcoins, but then they found 200,000, and now they're going to pay everyone back eventually. That's still not happening. It'll be big news when people actually get paid back by Mt. Gox eventually. But anyways, once again, look at all these stories about exchanges getting hacked. Please just don't keep your crypto on an exchange. Like, I never would do that. I've been in Bitcoin for like 5 years now, and I would never, ever keep my crypto on an exchange. In fact, when I use an exchange, in the rare case I have to, like, I get kind of scared. It's like, is it going to deposit correctly? Is it going to withdraw correctly? That's always just kind of anxiety-filled. So then some people get comfortable, though, with an exchange. They'll be using it for, like, a year. They'll get comfy, like on Quadriga CX or whatever, which is, like, the biggest exchange in Canada, and then, boom, it's gone. And then here's some more exchange-related news of the day. Huobi apparently was expanding globally. And they had an office in Australia, And they were going to launch, like, an Australian dollar to crypto exchange. But they decided not to do that because they would have to do AUSTRAC, AUSTRAC registration, which is, like, the ultimate form of registration. It's kind of like the money service business sort of thing, or anti-money laundering laws all packaged into one for Australia. So Huobi decided not to do that, and they decided not to launch their fiat exchange, and then they were only doing crypto-to-crypto in Australia, which is, like, something people in Australia could get on any other crypto-to-crypto exchange like Binance. So Huobi has no longer seen a point of having an Australian office because they're not willing to go through with the registration with the Australian government. And they're closing their office in Australia. So Huobi is pretty much kind of exiting Australia, but not really. Of course, people can still use Huobi for crypto-to-crypto, but they don't have to be in Australia. Like, Huobi has no need to actually have an office in Australia for a crypto-to-crypto exchange. The only reason they had it there was on the potential of launching a fiat exchange, and they did not. So that's all we have for you today on this February 25th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another deep dive market analysis, and we'll see how this unfolds. Will the bears continue to attack, or will the bulls come back? And also go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. And also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They've made over 280% profit since July because they're professional traders and they know what they're doing. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, and by the way, there's a 2-week free trial right now, they'll teach you how to do it. Like, they post their trades in real time, they post their methodology and their analysis, and if you read that alone, you can become an expert trader. But then you can also ask them questions in real time, and they'll answer all of your questions. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.